Welcome to the good, the bad, and the ugly of self-storage, your go-to podcast for mastering the self-storage industry. Join host Michael Cunningham and his son Dylan Cunningham as they share insider knowledge, firsthand experiences, and practical advice. Each episode, they dive into real stories from lucrative deals and strategic renovations to the challenges and pitfalls that await. Whether you're a seasoned operator or new to the industry, learn how to succeed, avoid common traps, and seize great opportunities. Tune in to hear their journey, lessons learned, and secrets to making your storage facility a success. Unlock the potential of self-storage with us.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 9 of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly of Self-Storage. I'm Dylan Cunningham, and today we're tackling an important topic, designing office and residential spaces in self-storage facilities. Whether you're starting from scratch or upgrading an existing facility, the layout and design of these spaces can have a big impact on operations, security, and customer experience. As always, I'm joined by my dad, Mike Cunningham. So, Dad, why is it important to be thoughtful about designing office and residential spaces?
Yeah, Dylan, the design of an office or residential space is all about functionality, efficiency, and the customer experience. A well-designed office can improve workflow, make customer interaction smoother, and help with sales. When it comes to residential spaces, there are ongoing debates in the industry. Some operators will still tell you that there is value in having an on-site manager living on the property, while others lean towards full automation. Today we'll break it down, the pros and cons of each approach. But before we get started, as always, our podcast is for entertainment purposes and intended as a springboard for anyone interested in self-storage and potentially considering building their own self-storage facility. Always consult with professionals that specialize in this type of work before you invest.
All right, so let's jump right into it. What does an ideal office layout look like for a self-storage facility today?
In our experience, the ideal office layout today is actually much smaller, or sometimes non-existent. You know, compared to traditional setups, think about how banks have transformed over the past decade. They used to have large, extravagant lobbies designed to convey stability and strength. Now they're smaller and heavily reliant on ATMs and kiosks that offer extended access hours. So self-storage is following a very similar path. Your facility's layout should emphasize automation with self-service kiosks, clear signage, advanced access control system, security, and comprehensive camera coverage. But essentially, I mean, customers should easily be able to handle move-ins, move-outs, payments, and even unit transfers without needing an in-person staff. I mean, this is where the future's going. We need to allow our business to operate just like the banking industry or the way hotel industry is moving.
Gotcha.
So, Dylan, with that being said, I always want to know the Gen Z's perspective. How can automation improve self-storage? Why are we transforming in this direction? Why is Gen Z kind of forging us to go to this manless facility?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, in my opinion, I think automation can dramatically streamline operations by letting your customers independently manage their storage experience. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Automated systems allow renters to move in, switch units, pay bills, or, you know, terminate rentals entirely on their own without waiting for office hours or staff assistance. You know, by designing your facility with automation in mind, like secure entry kiosks or user-friendly payment stations and integrated security systems, you can efficiently run the business even if your manager isn't there. You know, providing maximum flexibility and convenience for both you and your customers, this is what the future is all about. This is what our generation loves and is accustomed to. And we are the future renters. So if you don't conform to it, you'll be isolating your facility from a large cohort of future rents.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well.
So, you know, with that being said, do you think this is why self-storage facilities are moving away from large office spaces?
Yeah, for all those reasons you just mentioned. Self-storage is moving away from large office spaces because customer interactions have changed dramatically, just like they have in banking and retail. And now, like we both just did, we had the opportunity to ride in a Waymo in San Francisco. Incredible. I mean, this is driverless. The livery industry will be changed dramatically with driverless taxis. Customers now expect convenience, speed, and accessibility, not necessarily face-to-face interaction during limited office hours. Yeah, smaller or kiosk-based office layouts mean lower overhead costs, more efficient operations, the flexibility to offer services 24/7. I mean, this approach reflects the changing customer preferences and technology advancements. And it's where we see the industry heading long term. This is where it's going.
Totally. Yeah, I've seen some facilities allocate extra space for merchandise sales. Is that something that's beneficial with all, you know, what we've been talking about so far?
Yeah, in my opinion, if you have someone in the office, I mean, you want to sell locks for sure. We require disc locks and offer an affordable solution that, say, compares to pricing at, you know, a big box store. I'd maybe offer small or medium boxes as well, or a mattress bag, but all the other ancillaries, I probably wouldn't. I mean, this is just my opinion based on what we're seeing in our markets we operate in. I mean, this is only if you're using a full-time manager or even a hybrid model. If you're running a fully automated facility, obviously retail sales might not make any sense.
Got it. Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, that's kind of a touchy subject as of right now because so many people and companies still have that office space. You know, it's not like we're fully transitioned into that manless facility just quite yet. And you know, it could be a little bit of an awkward conversation to have.
Yeah, I think it's right around the corner, though. I really do. And, you know, obviously there are plenty of operators out there that are working fully autonomous where, you know, they've got maybe just a maintenance guy coming in. And it really just depends on the size of your facility. And we can get a little deeper into that later. But
totally.
But at this point, yeah, that's kind of where we see things.
Totally. Let's talk about residential spaces. Some facilities still have on-site manager apartments. What's your take on this?
Well, here in California, or Northern California, we still believe that having a residence at a self-storage facility makes sense. I mean, the cost of housing in Northern California is extremely high, and offering housing as part of an employment package, it makes a big difference for us, especially when we're hiring. I mean, it makes a difference between an okay employee versus an exceptional one. I mean, this is for sure in our experience. So even though the industry is shifting, say, towards, you know, more automation and manless facilities, we still believe there's a need for on-site personnel at larger properties. So if you've got a facility, say, I would say 40,000 square feet or under, you're going to, you know, you're probably not going to need anyone present. But if it's over 40,000 square feet, I would say you're probably going to want to have somebody physically present at the property. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 5 days a week. It could be less. But in our opinion, there's still too many moving parts at this point for us.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, it really just depends on the size of the property.
So, Dylan, how does the role of on-site staff evolve with automation?
Good question. I think we're seeing a shift where many clerical and operational tasks are being handled remotely or require less human interaction. But, you know, maintenance and security are still super critical. I mean, if you're not using a keyless lock system like Nokia, you definitely still need walkthroughs for those overlocks. You know, so in the future, I think there is the role of an on-site manager will definitely lean toward, you know, more towards a maintenance and security personnel, you know, with some operational responsibilities. But yeah, I mean, having someone on site provides peace of mind to tenants and helps, you know, kind of deter those security issues, especially in high crime or rural areas. Yeah, and as we know, payroll is the single biggest expense in self-storage.
Oh, exactly, and that's why you're seeing this massive shift to, you know, the manless facility. I mean, with it being our biggest expense, I mean, you're bringing down the bottom line, your ROI is increasing, and, you know, you put that into a cap rate, and boom, your property is really increasing in value. So this technology moving forward is really going to make the difference in, you know, a property that potentially you might not look at to purchase or build. But now with technology and the advancements and not having to have the personnel there as many hours and eliminating some of this payroll, really going to make a big difference.
So, Dad, I got to ask, any good, bad, or ugly stories related to today's topic?
Absolutely. So, as technology reduces the need for full-time staff, we're hoping to seeing payroll costs come down, like I just talked about, but I don't think we'll ever get rid of all human presence at a self-storage facility. I think that's a misconception. I if it's a very rural property and, you know, again, small square footage, few units, definitely, and we have that in our portfolio. But the minute you start to get into some decent square footage, there's a lot of moving parts, you're always going to need someone on staff.
Totally. I mean, it's an important part of getting a renter to rent with you. I mean, the way your facility looks is all about how you maintain it. And if you don't have someone on site, you know, whatever it is, once a week, every day, every other day, making sure that property is clean, then, you know, someone's probably not going to want to rent with you.
Yeah. So, you know, what we're seeing in our markets, we currently, are not manless. Just a couple of our properties are operating manless, and the majority of them are open a minimum of 5 days a week, and a couple of them are open 7 days a week. And so it kind of depends on where you're at in your lease-up phase as well. Once you have the property stabilized, can you cut back on these things? And so it's kind of a complex question, but I think the goal at the end inevitably is to try to get some sort of hybrid version acclimated or, you know, initiated into your facility where you're not having someone there full time. And then where you could really get the economy of scale going is when you have multiple properties and you could have, you know, one property answering phones for the other properties, and now with, you know, the ability to FaceTime and stuff, you could walk people through these other properties. You don't even have to be there. So it's really changing in that regard.
Right. Back to, you know, if you had any good, bad, or ugly stories, what would you like to share?
Well, I would say where we made the biggest mistake, we recently remodeled the offices at most of our facilities, well, within the last 3 years, and, you know, we obviously did not do what we're preaching right now. We barely implemented any automation and technology driven strategies into, you know, our offices, and so while not necessarily ugly, it's certainly challenging to now adopt and, you know, transition again. Dylan, our focus going forward will be updating all of our facilities, offices, to mirror more closely the secure, dedicated, self-service storage facility where you could, you know, handle payments and access your unit and rent a unit all right there, you know, at a kiosk or some sort of remote location. And so, you know, catering to the Gen X, really, this is it. And, you know, modeling kind of what the banking industry is doing, having that, you know, entry into the bank where you go through the ATMs first and then enter into the bank. We'd like to have our offices kind of mirror that same look.
Gotcha. And so, what about all those file cabinets you installed?
Yeah, exactly. So that was a huge mistake. Obviously, after we installed all those file cabinets, then, you know, we went with a company-wide mandate that we'd be paperless within 24 months. So we've got a lot of empty file cabinets at this point and a lot of extra space. So yeah, do not install file cabinets in any remodel or new construction for self-storage office space.
All right, we covered a lot today, from office layouts and automation trends to residential spaces and future strategies. Dad, any final takeaways?
Yeah, so always design with efficiency, customer experience, and as we just mentioned, future adaptability in mind. Always try to think forward. Obviously, we didn't. We redid our offices and weren't even thinking about it. You know, you get caught in your own little groove, and you know, things were working well. We're making money, and the properties are doing well. We went through COVID. Everything was, you know, overoccupied. We had waiting lists, and then you know, we transitioned out of that, and now you're starting to get a little more lean and mean again. And so, I think you really have to have the ability to look down the pipe, and it's a blessing having the younger generation come work with us to kind of give us that insight. So I would say make sure that you are futurizing any plans when you're building, that you're thinking about the future.
For sure. Well, that's it for episode 9 of The Good,
The Bad,
and The Ugly of Self-Storage. Next time, we'll be diving into where do the majority of new self-storage customers come from and how to get more. One last thing, if you write us a review on the platform you listen from and send it to us at info@selfstoragebrokeragegroup.com, we will send you our must-have, the 50 money-saving questions to ask the professionals if you're thinking about building a self-storage facility. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to like and subscribe.
Thanks for tuning in to The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly of Self-Storage. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like us, leave a review, and share it with others. For more tips and updates, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, let's unlock the potential of self-storage together.